I muted wrestling.
How are we doing, everybody? This is Jeff Hoke here with Chris Henrique and Jamie Gatlin for another episode of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast presented by Beyond the Monster. We are here post game of the Boston Bruins and Maple Leafs game two, as Maple Leafs tied up, going up 3-2, and now we'll head back to Toronto with a 1-1 series lead. Tough game, boys. Looked good in the first period, looked good for most of the second period. Then the penalties kind of got to them. Then the third period, they just looked sloppy at the end of the day. Just not what you wanted. Game-winning goal goes to Auston Matthews, who scored on a one on a breakaway. Not much you can do there. But before we get deep into it, Chris, what is your initial thoughts on the game two?
I didn't feel like the Bruins played with the same intensity that they did in game one. You scored late in the first period to take that lead going into the second. You should be able to build upon that. And I just didn't feel like they did. They came out with a little bit of the same kind of fire, I guess, that they ended the first with, but they just never really found a way to try to put away Toronto. They did that in game one. So like tonight, they just kind of let them linger. I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed with McAvoy's play tonight. If you look at his stat sheet, it doesn't it his stats tonight jump out to you like a bottom pair defenseman. He had no registered hits that were registered to the stat sheet. Like he had the one where he laid the dude out in the first period, but they didn't really, I guess, count that. But he had 25 minutes on the ice. He had one shot on goal. Now, he did have an assist in the game, but I just felt like too many times in the game, he was a non-factor tonight. Surprise, surprise. Did Lindholm play tonight? Because the only way that you know that he would have played tonight is by looking at the stat sheet, because I don't recall seeing him or him mention at all throughout tonight's game.
He
And
did
I
in the
thought.
last period on Allmark's last save. He kind of redirected that away from that a little bit, so it did help out there.
And my last thought is, I think Ullmark played great tonight. He made a lot of really good saves. He kept you in the game. He kept you in a game that you could have and should have won, but defense hung him out to dry. And then Auston Matthews break. What are you going to do? 69 goals in the regular season. Eight times out of 10, he scores there. You know what I mean? So if anybody's going to get on Lindholm about that goal, I think you can kind of shove it sideways, because you're being a jackass if you're going to blame that. I had someone text me being like, "Oh, you should have rode the hot hand." Really? You stop the league's number one goal scorer, one of the best hockey players, on a break like that in that
Yeah,
situation.
you're not doing that.
No, Dominic Hasek will do that in his prime. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not happening. So that's my overall take on the game. I felt the Bruins had an opportunity tonight to really put some pressure, and now it's 1-1. And to your point, this is going to go probably the duration.
Jamie, early thoughts before we get too far into it?
Yeah, I just feel like execution tonight wasn't their best. They had a lot of bad penalties in the third period. You just weren't able to see them be as successful offensively as they were the other night. But I feel like a little bit credit to Toronto. They were able, didn't let the Bruins build the momentum. And it's kind of like Bruins dominated game one. Leafs kind of punched back today to even the series, going back to Toronto. So it's going to be big to see how the Bruins respond in game three.
Now, you mentioned, Chris, the goalie situation going in. We all figured it was gonna be Ullmark today. The way they had it set up this whole time was the rotating goalie. It was set up like that. They hadn't gone back to back since February. It was the right move. I was a little skeptical at first, but obviously Linus Ullmark had a fantastic game outside of obviously that breakaway, which like you said, nothing you could do about that. And then, just the defense hung him out to dry at the end of the day. And it's just unfortunate because you had that game, but penalties at the end of the day, Jamie, killed them. One of the main things that they didn't do in the first game was take those bad penalties, and that is exactly what they did. Now, the refs didn't help much on a couple of those calls. That doesn't matter at this point. But you can't be taking those bad penalties at a time when you are in that game.
And also their power play effort, or the last one, was just a dreadful effort, I feel like. You know, especially you're in your home ice and you have a power play with under 10 minutes left. They got literally nothing going. You know, it's just like they put themselves in tough situations. And it just wasn't. I mean, Marchand had a very good chance there at the end, too, with under 3 minutes left. That Sasnov stopped this blocker. So it just felt like, you know, as we said, that's probably a game they could have won. They left a lot of opportunities on the ice. And during the playoffs, you can't, you know, if you're going to play like that, it's usually not going to end well. And we're seeing that when they should be up 2-0 going back to Toronto, except we're tied because, you know, this wasn't their greatest effort tonight in terms of execution and making those plays when they needed to down the stretch.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's the star. The Maple Leafs get what they want. They bounce back, which is what Sheldon Keefe wanted. You got Max Domi not taking stupid penalties. It was Matthew Nyes today for some reason, and also Labushkin and Tyler Bertuzzi. I know, Chris, I know you love Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah, I'm going to give him some love in a second if you want to set this up.
Yeah, I'll set this up.
I actually have an opinion. So,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm not ready yet.
No, I'm just saying he's becoming what every boss – he's becoming that thorn in Boston fan's side, which is good, which is what you need on in a rivalry like this. He had a couple of good shots that, you know, could have been there was a goal he had that was called back for high sticking. There was also a glove save that was ended up not being a goal either way at the end of the day. But he's had his opportunities at the end of the day. But as we move on here, Chris, what's your love for Bertuzzi you want to give out
it's
here?
It's not really so much a love for Bertuzzi. It's really more so the fact that he did exactly what a Brad Marchand used to do before he had the C on his jersey, the sweater, and when he was younger in his prime. He was out there. He had that stupid penalty when they set up that last power play of the game, that stupid slash that then Marchand goes and sold to get the, you know, the 2 minutes or whatever and whatever. But he had, think about this, right? He had 5 shots on goal tonight. 2 penalty minutes, he had an assist in this game. He had 2 goals that were denied. One by Ullmark on a great glove save, and another because instant replay took it away. That instant replay goal that was taken away could have been demoralizing. It could have set the Leafs backwards, and they didn't let that impact them. They have a guy like Bertuzzi that is just flying around, getting under the skin of players on the ice. He's doing exactly what Marchand used to be. And it's to me, like, again, Bertuzzi's a guy that you love him on your team, but you hate him when he's not on your team. At the end of the day, I thought he was one of the difference makers tonight for the Maple Leafs. This could have been a 5-2 final tonight. There could have been 2 more goals on the board for the Maple Leafs tonight because of his play alone. I think the Bruins shouldn't underestimate Tyler Bertuzzi and what he could bring to the table. On the flip side of that, where was Pat Maroon tonight?
That's a good question. I was wondering
he
the same
12
thing.
12 minutes, he had 4 hits, 12 minutes and 6 seconds, 4 hits. But beyond that, again, nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
He was making sure everyone stayed in their respective benches.
Yeah. Well,
the other night.
The dude that he sent into the Bruins
that was Reeves' job.
That's true.
But, you know, I don't know, guys. Like, there was just a lot of guys that no call, no show tonight for work is what happened. Pastrnak had the goal. But beyond that, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really think he had a good game. He was on his ass more times than I could account for in this game. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, Geeky with that goal, I thought that was, you know, he had a good game. But, you know, and Zaka's pass was just unreal. That was a beautiful feed. But really, beyond that, I'm completely unimpressed with the play of the Bruins offense tonight. And, you know, if you know, they have any thoughts of beating this Maple Leafs team. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, then I'll kick it back to you. I've been afraid of wanting them to play the Toronto Maple Leafs. I said this all year long, that I did not want this to be the matchup in the playoffs. I just do not like the way these two teams match up. I know the Bruins, what they did in the regular season, but I just feel like the Maple Leafs, I understand that they beat them, but I just, they match up so much better in the postseason right now. They scare me. They just scare me right now.
So, Jamie, I'll ask you this. Obviously, we don't know Andrew Peak's injury right now. He did block a shot and then left the game in the second period. And you noticed his loss on that penalty kill that led to the tying goal with about 30 seconds left, roughly, maybe a little less on the penalty kill. Big loss for the Bruins if he's out for long term.
Yeah, I mean, he's carved out a really nice role on the penalty kill. I feel like when they acquired him, there's kind of some untapped potential there, and he's fit a role that was needed on this team very nicely, especially a team like Toronto when you have weapons like Matthews, Tavares, Nylander when he's healthy. You want your best PK guys available, especially having the next two games in Toronto in that environment. It's going to be tough not having a piece like that. If they keep making the mistakes like they did in the third period, you know, doing that on Toronto's home ice when you're down a guy like that is not going to end well. So hopefully he's back quickly, because that could be a big loss, just because he's a guy that, you know, you might not know his presence by looking at the stat sheet, but the way he limits the other team's power play, especially in the playoff series, that is big.
So obviously you're going to, if they keep the same track, you're going to have Swayman start in Toronto on Wednesday.
I think that's what they should do.
That's what it's most likely. If they keep it the way it's been going, which has been the rotating piece, which is what we all wanted, just saying. So if anyone's, like you said, if anyone's saying ride the hot hand, Chris, you just remind them that literally just last year, you were calling for Lenius to be benched because he was playing too many games in the playoffs, and it should have been gone to Swayman. I think
tonight, despite the loss, is one of his better games that he's had in the postseason. I posted on the Beyond the Monster Twitter handle his postseason numbers, and they're unimpressive. His record now is 3-6, I believe. His goals against was like 3.54, which is not a good number. That is just a gross number to have. His save percentage was under 900, which is again not another good number to have. He really hasn't showed up in the playoffs, but he played better tonight than what his stats indicated. And he also played pretty well for a guy that, if you think about it, it's been the Swayman show for the most part for the last handful of weeks. So for a guy that really hadn't been out there as much, he played a pretty good game tonight. He kept the Bruins in that game, and they gave them a shot to win. So I hope that the Bruins can regroup, and maybe they play better in front of Sway. I don't know, but you know, my big takeaway, I think, with Ullmark again is I think that he played better than what I think he's going to get for criticism in the next 24 hours. Cause I feel like there's going to be some from, you know, I envision 98.5 is probably going to kill him tomorrow. And I think that would just be not warranted.
No, and they should be killing the rest of the team in front of them, you know, like Matt Grizzlick or any of those guys.
Don't get me. You're going to get me going. You said the name. That's like saying Beetlejuice three times.
Yeah, I've only said it once though. So that being said, let's say Swayman does well on Wednesday, regardless if you win or lose. Do you go to him on Saturday, Jamie?
I would. I mean, I feel like you have to ride the hot hand. I mean, I'm interested to see how he plays too, especially kind of in a hostile environment in Toronto. That's pretty fun to see. But if he plays like he did in game one, I'd ride him again from game four.
I don't know his stats, but he's 4-0 against Toronto this season. I know that.
Make it like 6-0 or maybe 7-0.
That makes that's kind of where I was going at was it. And you saw how he played against them in game one. He has a number. He's kind of in their head a little bit too. It'll be interesting if he does do well on Wednesday in Toronto under those lights. I feel like you have to break up the goalie rotation and go to him on Saturday. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I it feels like they're planning to go every other and then see where you're at by game five.
Yeah.
But I have to kind of agree with you guys. Like, look, if Swayman goes out and, you know, gets a shutty, for example, then I want him in game in goal for game four. He goes out and he plays like he did in game one. I want him in between. You need to ride the better player, the guy that's playing. You know, you can keep Ullmark loose. Again, stats don't lie, and you know what I mean. And I feel like, you know, I would go Jeremy Swayman, if he exceeds those expectations. I think that Jim Montgomery can't afford. If he goes out and makes some questionable decisions in this playoff series, I think now you have to start looking at, okay, you're a good regular season coach, but you kind of fumble the bag a little bit in the postseason.
And so, I think that's why he's trying to play this goalie situation as carefully as he can, because he saw what happened last season. Obviously, yeah. He saw the criticism. I'm sure Sweeney and Neely talked to them after the season, asked him what the fuck was up with that, going to Swayman so late. You got to think this happened. I mean, he's not naming who the goalie is until they come out of the tunnel. They're playing this like so carefully that you don't know what's going to be coming up, because he doesn't want the flashback. And I can't say I blame him, because Boston, that's just how Boston media is at this point.
Yeah, I think he just needs to, like, trust his gut, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's a point in time where I bet you that dude is probably either riding home in the car, music off, thinking, and just knowing in his, like, gut of gut, the right thing for me to do is to do Swayman, ride that out. Maybe he just needs to tell Sweeney and Neely, like, let me coach this team the way that I need to coach this team, and I'm going to go with who I feel gives me the best shot. I'm curious if it's coming from above saying, hey, alternate the guys too. You know what I mean? How much of a say is Sweeney and Neely in this conversation as well? You know what I mean? Like, we don't know that. I'm just, you know, throwing that out there, you know, creating a little bit of a rumor, innuendo type stuff. But I guess to kind of end the whole premise of what you were saying, I would go Jeremy Swayman. I would stop the alternating if Sway goes out. And looks, you know, if he looks really good.
So as we wrap up this quick podcast for tonight, Jamie, what are your pointers to what the Bruins need to do here going forward outside of the goalie situation?
Well, my first point is something we need to discuss. You need to give the puck to Jake DeBrusk. The man has 4 points in the first two games of the series. He's doing that thing where he's showing why he was a top. Why he was a 15 pick. It's been good to see him kind of come out of the gate hot and really factor into how many goals did they score in game one? Five?
Yeah, something like that.
So he's factored into 4 of their 7 goals. You need his production like that. Obviously, you need that from Pastrnak and the other guys too, but it's really good to see him off to a hot start. And also, I feel like my other point is be like, don't make stupid penalties in the third period. Look a lot better on the power play, because that last power play of the night, they got nothing going on net, and that was horrible in a key situation, especially when you needed a goal. You keep putting the pressure on. I think one thing Toronto did well in this game was they didn't let the Bruins build their momentum like Boston in game one. So you have to keep the pressure on, especially when you're away. So just play smarter hockey, take advantage of the opportunities when they come to you. And kind of how we alluded to earlier, like Chris said, you need a better effort from everyone overall. There are a lot of guys that didn't have their best games tonight, and going on the road, unless you want to fall in a hole, they need to be a lot better as a team.
Chris, what are your pointers for the Bruins as they go up to Toronto, as they play games 2, 3, and 4 as we before we get back? 3, 4, and 5, sorry. Numbers.
Yeah. I think you're gonna need a better showing out of your defense. If the Bruins defense plays the way that they did tonight, they're going to lose this series. So that has to that you know a complete stop right then and there. I'm gonna go out and say this, that if Hampus Lindholm is a puddle in this series, they have to seriously elevate his status on the trade block this summer and look to move him.
So
Because
happy we gave him a 7-year deal. Sorry.
you cannot pay him top tier money for him to be a bottom six defenseman in the playoffs. Just can't happen. I need Montgomery to trust his gut, like we just talked about, and go with the right hand, the hot hand when it comes to the goaltending after we see what happens with Sway in game three. And then there's some guys on the Maple Leafs, Austin, Matthews, you're gonna have to, he's gonna get his shots off, but it's those other, those secondary players. You're gonna have to keep Bertuzzi in check. You cannot let Bertuzzi fly around there and get under your skin. You can't let Domi do the same exact thing either. And you cannot let tonight's game and this loss catapult Samsonov into the opportunity for him to get hot, because
Yeah.
he's the you have two number one goalies. The Leafs haven't had that in like 20 years. Like, you are that much better than them between the pipes. Your defense needs to protect them, and you need consistent showing from the rest of these guys. It's only two games in, I get it, but I don't want to, be talking about this next week and all of a sudden it's 3-1 Toronto. Because if that's the case, then we're gonna just, be on cruise control until the Celtics are in the NBA Finals.
And we haven't even touched on Nylander not playing either. Yeah,
Well,
he's
that's
been.
the other thing, actually. Good point. You know what I mean? One of their better players,
No one knows
not
what the fuck's
really.
up with him either. He's kind of
No,
just.
he's yeah, he could have, fucking slept wrong in the hotel room or whatever it could be.
This nasty. Bissonnette seems to think that he's a hologram on the ice right now. So,
Or he missed the team breakfast. You never know about those things.
He
Or he
could
banged a
have.
teammate's wife. You never know, I guess. Or he
But
did, both the team breakfast and the team life. I don't.
that's like six games right there. That's like a week work, though.
So, yeah, I'm not saying like, oh no, like, we should be worried. I don't think that that's the case. It's 1-1. I think at the end of the day, the Bruins are the better team. I just don't like the matchup against Toronto. That matchup to me doesn't favor the Bruins. I don't know.
Before we wrap it up here, I want to put this out here, little score update for you. The Isles, who were up 3-0, are now about to lose 5-3. Canes are about to go up 2-0 in that series. They just blew a 3-0 lead, and they just scored 5 unanswered goals.
I think we would call that a choke job, I
That is
believe.
a massive choke job. I don't know what happened. I'm not watching the game. I had to turn off hockey after that Bruins game. I had to take a little bit of a breather after that. And then on the other side of things, the Vegas Golden Knights, they're up 2-0 early against the number one seed in the, I believe the number one seed in the West, Dallas Stars. Who else but Mark Stone,
As you say, he's alive.
scoring the first goal of the Vegas playoffs coming off the LTIR. I mean, come on.
I mean,
Who said you
rules.
can't
What are
circumvent in
rules?
this league,
Cap
baby?
rules, roster limitations. Who even listens to that anymore?
Oh, who needs them? Oh. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, if it's legal, it's legal. Hey. Okay. The Bruins did it, we'd be happy about it. So
I'm not. We're not telling Sweeney how to do his job for next year, but
no, we were just pissed when Tampa did it because we had to play Tampa. That's the only reason. And it happens. So, Chris, any final thoughts before we head out?
No, you know what actually was surprising though about tonight's podcast is that not at any point did I work in a Boston Red Sox or a baseball
Oh, you
reference.
just did.
I was just thinking the same thing.
So that's
when
how I'm
you said win. When you said recruits into the Celtics winning championship, I was like, are you not gonna try to make a baseball reference there? I was like waiting for some interjection there.
I mean, what am I gonna say?
I mean, half the team's injured, you know.
Jamie, any final parting thoughts for you?
Jake DeBrux, that's all I'm gonna say. And apparently Zaka is going sicko mode with his behind the back or no look passes, which was I'll probably be watching that highlight for the next 6 hours. But
yeah, I'm gonna probably cry at that highlight given the fact that they lost that game after that. So
no, smile because of that happened. Just block out the other like 45 minutes.
Yeah, we were talking about the power of friendship, but we're the fucking text right now. Look at what we're doing. Yeah.
Playoffs are when you rely on your friends. It's a time when everyone's suffering.
Yeah, it's really about the friends you made along the way, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Well, we'll be back next week to wrap up the games 3, 4, 5. So we'll be back then. Hopefully we'll be going game 6 after that is all said and done. If not, hopefully Bruins will be winning it in 5 come next Monday. We'll see. I don't know. Go from there. But I'm Jeff Hoke. That's Jamie Gatlin. That's Chris Henrique. And this has been another episode of Shorthanded Takes the Boston Bruins podcast presented by Beyond the Monster.